morning, a little nervous. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I kind of wanted to apologize to you. We'll be preaching to our church. All right? So church, take this personal. I'm going to take it personal. I've took it personal. I want you to take it personal. If you think I'm talking to you, I am. I'm not talking to you, but God's going to talk to you through me. This is a tough one. It's good. There's some fun stuff in it. I'm going to have fun preaching it, but there's going to be some stuff in it. It's tough. And I hope somebody changes.
Amen.
That's what I hope. That's what the outcome is. And I'm not, I want all of us to change, but if all of us don't change, I hope one or two or three or five does. Amen? That's the goal. I want to help I had a ghostwriter in on this one too. My young son Peyton sat down and helped me with this. He's partial on this message, so you can give him some credit after the service, or you can blame him too. Had a burden, and hope this don't get drowned out over and over, but there's a burden there. The title of this, and I'm going to take my time, so don't think I'm going to rush. Don't drop the baton. Don't drop the baton. We're going to use the illustration of a relay race this morning, okay? And that's what God's put on our heart to do this. But the burden was, does this belong to you? Does this Jesus, this gospel, this message, does it belong to you? Off. What God. Let it sink in. Verse 10. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. Joshua, what a great man Joshua was. But Joshua was dying, 110 years old. Joshua came out of Egypt. He came out with Moses, and he was an understudy to Moses. He was a help to Moses. He's seen a lot of great miracles. He's seen a lot of great things. He got real close to the ministry. He was one of the first of the promised land. The people. One thing he did also was when he was in the wilderness, he watched a whole generation pass away. They wouldn't trust God. They wouldn't trust Jesus. And that's where I began my study and my thought in this, and he gave me an idea before he gave me the message. I started thinking, I said, man, do I know, does God know that you have the main thing? Do you have the main thing this morning? That was the burden on my heart when I went to study this out. I started thinking about how we run a relay race. A relay race is ran in four legs. And if it's not ran in four legs, I don't care, because I've got 4 points. It's first of all, it's the first leg. It's the hardest leg, if you ask me. Because it's the ones who go first. In this case, in our church, it's the oldest generation here. First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for running the race, older generation. That'd be your 90s, your 80s, your 70s, and maybe your 60s. Don't be mad at me. God told me to preach it this way. Thank you for blazing the trail. Thank you for taking off on a race. Nobody likes the first leg because nobody else has ran yet. Nobody else has ran yet. You blazed trails. You started things. You began things. There's a track because of you. Golly, I wish y'all would help me preach. There's a track. There's a stadium. There's trophies. There's things happening because of you. The first generation to run, thank you. You started in that building and a flat top building on this side. You handed something off to us. I want you to hear me. I'm telling you, thank you. We're sitting here, and sometimes this generation gets the worst end of it because everybody forgets how hard it's to run when there's nobody else running that's ran yet. But I also want to give you a warning. Older members, don't get mad at the next leg of the race. Don't get mad at the second, the third, and the fourth. Don't get mad at the younger generation because they won't do it the same way you want to do it. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated because they don't see it your way. See, I started thinking about this when I was studying for this message. See, the baton is handed to the next generation. Peyton, stand up there for me. Get ready for the baton, son. See, the generation that runs before is running to meet the next generation. He's going to start running before I get there. That's a good word, by the way. Every generation, stay there. Every generation begins to run before the other generation gets there. Now, I know our budget is so small around here for theatrical things for the pastor to use. This is our baton. I would like it to be a real running baton, and I would have loved it to have been red, and it's going to represent Jesus. Because I love the stadium. Let me break that down. I love the church. I love the platform. I love the place. I love the fellowship hall and the gym. I love to be able to preach here. I love the air conditioning. I love everything about it. But that's not the main thing. Amen. See, I'm going to run, and he's going to start running. Pretend like you're running. His eyes are going to be forward. His hand's going to be reaching back. It's not my job to criticize, be bitter at, or angry at him running the race. It's my job to get the main thing in the hand. It's my job to get the main thing in the hand of the next generation running the race. And then I let it go, and I let him run. I let him run. I let him run. Now I want you to hear this part. I'm going to talk a little bit about racing, the relay race. When you come upon the next generation, you should be handing off this baton and you should be so slap wore out. You should be so slap wore out. So when you get that in the hand of the next generation, you collapse. You're sucking wind. You're tired because you fought a good fight. And I understand if you're tired and you're sucking wind and you're worn out because you fought a good fight and you hand Jesus Christ to the next generation, you won't have time to look around and complain. If you are complaining and bitter and angry with that next generation, you did not run hard enough. Amen. Running the race. Boy, this is good. If you're running the next leg of the race and you're looking back and you're ready for it to come and get in your hand, you're not criticizing the person that's handed off to you. You're supporting them. You're running your part. And you're cheering them. Listen, nobody who's ran the race first is going to sit on the sideline and go, "You stink! You're terrible! You're no good!" Listen, I want you to hear this. The adversary you're running against will do that enough for you. the enemy you're running against, the devil and his demons and this world, will beat you down enough. If you've ran your race and you're caught your breath, stand up and cheer the next generation. If you're the one who just got the baton and you're running your race and you're standing around and you're going to be the next one to run the race, get ready to run, get limber, get loose, get ready, but also cheer on the one who's bringing you the Jesus. We need that. We need encouragement. We need love. We need support. We need somebody to be excited. But we also need Jesus to be passed from generation to generation. I don't care if we're passing everything else down, if we're not passing Jesus. Now I'm going to talk middle of the road group, that middle age group. That'd be me, I think. 50, 40s, 30s. That second leg. You need to take this time to increase your race that you've been handed. If you're in that middle age group right now, stop talking about the ones ahead and worrying about the ones behind. You need to get running. Increase the distance that you've been handed. Our generation, this middle-aged generation, needs to stop worrying about so much stuff and get some stuff done in the best years of our lives. You don't, but we've got more income. Disposable. We've got more time. We've got more experience. And we're not as young as we used to be, but this is the place in the race that we got to hold it together. And we don't sit around and go, one of these days, and one of these days, we're going to start a fire. We're going to stoke it up. Keep it going. We hand it off. I want you to hear this stuff because God, give it to me the way I'm giving it to you. Don't be mad. Wait a minute, let's jump down here. Look ahead next. Do everything you can. This is the middle, not the beginning, and the middle, not the end. It's easy to settle. It's easy to settle when you're in the middle. God, never mind. It's easy to settle when you're in that middle ground. Yeah, well, don't want to take the responsibility of the other generation, and we'll say, well, we're going to hand off a good thing to the next generation, and we kind of settle. But let me tell you this. The older generation passed us a good thing. Generation, if we're going to hand off a great thing to the generation, guess what? Be running as hard as you can run. Listen, I'm in that middle age group. I know how easy it is to settle and get comfortable and be happy with what you got. We need to do more. This church needs to be bigger. We need to do more stuff. My motto that I live by and what you want to live by in this church needs to have an input in this community. This church should never pass away and this community go, what happened to that church? And what does it matter? Hey, they closed their doors, but that really don't affect us any. I want to be able to say, if something was to ever happen, like the rapture, that they go, man, that church is really going to be missed in this community because they help people. There is a place for help there. And the middle age group, it's our turn to run. Turns run, but I want you to make clear. Don't settle. Do more. Can I just bust you real quick? Y'all be mad at me. Right. I'll go get boxes of food. I'll bring them and stack them up in here. And guess what? The next generation's what? Ooh. I was thinking, man, if I preach this the way God give it to me, look for a job, Johnny. The third leg. Let's just call you the 20s or the millennials. I hate that term. We'll just call you the 20-somethings. You're not the last ones, so don't get lost. Don't disappear. No one seems to notice you, but the enemy does. He wants you to switch teams. He wants you to forget all your training and just stop running. The last leg is depending on you more than you know. 20-year-olds, let me tell you this. We care about you. But we understand what's going on more than anybody else knows. If you're not careful, the devil's going to say, nobody really knows what you're doing. You're going to go off to college, you're going to go off to work, and you're going to say, man, I just don't know if it's important to go to church this Wednesday night or this Sunday night or this Sunday morning. I don't know if it's important to be there, but let me tell you this, it is important, because guess what? You're one of the fastest groups in our trying to get you to switch teams. Everything you heard that was wrong in this church, you're going to hear that it's right. Everything you've been taught to know to do, you're going to say undo. The enemy's going to show you some things that you didn't get to see while you were growing up here. But it's time for you to grab hold and run anyway, because guess what? That middle group's watching you, but the teenage group's watching too. And if you go astray, they'll go astray. Time to run. It's time to run. Well, I don't see any other churches having 20-year-olds. I don't see many 20-year-olds leading. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Do something different. Do something different. You talked about it all the way through youth group. You might have even criticized some people in your youth group. Well, they didn't show up. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Where are these guys? But then when it was your turn, let me break it down simple. It's easy to go to church when mom and dad says, get up, you're going. It's easy to go to church. It's easy to find a Bible study. It's easy to pray. It's easy to be a part of when everybody's making you go, and when church is really fun and all the exciting stuff's being done. But it's hard when you are responsible for yourself and you must go. Will you run? 20-year-olds, will you run? Or will you just get lost and run your own race and be off the track before you know it? Will you? Will you? The fourth group. God, I love you guys. I love this last group. I like the young people of this church more than I like the adults. Oh, was I not? I wasn't supposed to say that out loud, was I? I didn't make that note. I'm just messing. Youth, you are often the fastest. See, what happens with the last leg of the race? The last leg of the race, you give it to that cocky speedster. I mean, you got to give it to your fastest person, because there might have been some trip-ups and hiccups in the race. God, y'all help me preach, and I will preach. Amen? Listen, that youngest one, that youth, that teenager, that punk kid, that aggravating, laughing hyena. The ones who don't seem like they get it. And those 12, 11, 10, 9, 8s that we got running around here, and you're going, God, does they don't have a parent? I'm being real with you. You be real with me. Those are our fastest runners. The first generation is no longer the fastest generation. The middle, we think we are, but we're not. We think it in our mind, we're going to go fast. We don't. You 20-year-olds, you're fast, but you ain't got the durability as that whippersnapping kid who just keeps buzzing the tower. Amen? You hear me? So I'm telling you, you're fast. You're the fastest, and we're excited to see your talent, your ability. But you can be arrogant. You can be arrogant. You can be mad at the first generation. They're old. They don't understand. They don't get us. Yeah, but they did run their race. You are on the track because they ran the race. See, you're running because the other three legs ran. So now it's up to you to take the baton, take Jesus, and run harder than all the other. And when you're running, you need to say, thank God. Thank God for the elder generation. Thank God for the Melvins. Thank God for the Earls. Thank God. Thank God for the Betsys. Thank God. Thank God that they handed me off something that I can run with. Thank God they didn't drop it. Thank God they didn't let it go under. Thank God I still got a church in 2018. Since they ran, I'll run. And if you think we made some mistakes, if you thought we did some blunders, by golly, use your strength and outrun us all. Every generation. The one thing you can't do is you can't drop the baton. You drop, you're out of the race. You're disqualified. That means at the end of this thing, if the generation coming up is worried about music and worried about our building and worried about our grounds more than they're worried about Jesus, we're disqualified. We failed. We need to hand them off a good Jesus no matter what they do with the stuff. No matter what they do with the stuff. I don't care what you do with the stuff. As long as I've made you thirsty and hungry and on fire for Jesus. I want you to get a hold of Jesus. I want to close this. Now this is a message to everybody that came today. The finish line. Also, the baton is Jesus. The stadium is the church. The track is the world. The uniforms is what Christ puts on us. Past wins, great runners, all that's great, but all that really matters is if you cross the finish line. All that really matters in this life is when you're at the end of this life and you're laying on your deathbed, whether it be tomorrow or 20, 30, 50 years from now, are you going to cross the finish line into heaven? Your finish line is Jesus Christ. The one way to get the baton handed to you is to accept what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. That means you repent of your sins. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And that goes for every generation running. I want you to leave here today. I want you to get this one point before we leave. Let's all stand as they come. The magicians come get a song. You know what? One of the biggest things God wanted me to do this morning, and I'm willing to say this, and I hope I don't squelch this whole deal right here, but I want to say it. I jumped over real quick. I jumped over during the message one of the most vital points. The most vital point is you got to have Jesus. But here's a vital point for you. Church, listen to what I'm about to say. While other people are running their race, if you can't cheer for them, shut up.
Amen.
If you can't cheer for them, shut up. You hear what I'm just saying? If you can't say anything good about the ones who are running the race, shut up. I know it's a unpolitical term to put it. And if you really want to do something cool, why? They are running their race. Get ready to run yours. So when it's handed off to do your thing, do it. Church, I listen. I hear a lot of stuff as a pastor. I hear a lot of stuff. And one of the worst things I hear is when one church member is critical and criticizing and running down another church member about what they're doing. Especially when they're doing something for the Lord. So I want to tell you right now, that's not welcome here. If you got a problem like that, the old pastor across the mountain would say, if you got a problem with me, go tell Jesus on me.
Amen.
Go tell Jesus on me. He'll take care of it. Yes. Otherwise, let me run my race, and I'll let you run yours. And I'll be your biggest fan, you be my biggest fan. Because there's some people in this church, they work like crazy. And a lot of times when people are working like crazy, it's easy to criticize the ones who are doing. If that's you, you need to find your way to this altar this morning and say, God, forgive me for putting my mouth on a brother and sister in Christ. I know this is a hard message to swallow, but this is not my position to preach you messages that you're going to love every Sunday. I want to go forward as a church. I want to run our race. And one day when our teenagers and our young kids are standing up in these positions that we're in, I want them to say, they handed it to me a good thing. They handed Jesus to us. Let's run with it. As they say, if you want to come.